Palm Sunday, a day when we remember the very last week that Jesus spent his life on earth. In order to have a better understanding the very last week that Jesus spent his life on, so as he entered the city of Jerusalem, we saw a lot of people welcome Jesus into their midst. And they were rejoicing, and therefore they placed some their clothing on the ground, and they placed some branches on the ground to welcome this future king into their midst. That is called the Palm Sunday. So today, at that day, it was his very last day on earth. So therefore, I would want you to look at a few slides that we have prepared. Now, this is what we call the Passion Week. And when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a colt on Monday, we call it a cleansing of the temple. That was his first action. And on Tuesday, he prophesied about and then on Wednesday, and on Thursday, the Last Supper. On Friday, it was crucifixion and the burial. And on Sunday was the Lord is risen. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, and we thank God that He was risen from death. So we can see the entire week, and that every day there is a specific thing that He did every day from Monday to Sunday while we are still on earth. We knew Jesus started his ministry when he was around 30 years old, and he was faced with opposition from the religious leaders because they were unwilling to believe he was the Son of God. So they resolved to set him up. They would try to murder him. But our Lord Jesus understood his own mission, so he obeyed the will of the Father. So Mark 11 tells us Jesus spoke to his disciples saying, "Go to the village ahead of you." Now, how did the two disciples respond? They obeyed him and went out. Well, they just went out, just did it. They did not question his order. Without any hesitation, they went out and did what Jesus told them to do. So what is the lesson that we can learn from these two disciples? The most important precision is, so the lesson number one that we learn from these disciples is, number one, perform the deeds he commanded us. Today's message is do what God wants me to do. And it is that we must do it immediately. So when God, when Jesus told us to do it, we must not delay. We must do it right away. So some people will ask, so since Jesus asked us, what did he want us to do? I'm sure you know that the first commandment is to love your God. This was the first commandment given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. In that passage, Moses earnestly instructed the Israelites to listen to God because he had blessed them tremendously. God loves us, each one of us. So in Deuteronomy it says, "Listen, Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord alone. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." What it means is this: commit our emotion, our will, and our reasoning entirely to Him. So what do we see here? Well, we see Peter, when Moses was in his advancing age, he loved a lot. He loved his people. So he encouraged his followers, his fellow citizens, to remember God's word. Very important to remember God's word is to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. If we translate it into today's language, what it means is we must commit our emotion, our will, and our reasoning entirely to Him. This is someone who loves God's will demonstrate in it that way. And now then Moses asks us to remember God's word. He also encouraged us to teach our God, our children, to do this as well. This is what we must do. So look at the chaos around us today. I'm sure you know in your heart. Our country's leaders say, "May God bless you." But most of their actions are contradictory to biblical teachings. It is such a dangerous situation. We must ask God to be merciful to us. So what shall we do? Let's begin with ourselves by teaching our children about the Bible. We help them to build a strong relationship with Jesus. So let's start with our own very small family unit. So we must encourage our children to know more and study more about the Bible and about Jesus, that they may one day know how to develop a very strong and close relationship with Jesus. Encourage one another to listen to the words of the Lord. And at the church level, let us stand firm on solidly preaching of the truth. Live up the name of Jesus and the cross. I remember when I first came to this church 3 years ago, I always encouraged members to have God's word memorized and keep it in your heart, keep it in your mind. So memorizing God's word is of absolute importance. If you do that, God will bless you. So I strongly encourage us to teach our children to memorize the word of God, to keep it in their hearts, that they may really have an understanding and true relationship with Jesus Christ. And at the same time, at the church level, we need also to lift up the name of Jesus and lift up the cross. This is something we must do in the church. Let us take a look at LCCC's maxim. I love my family. United we build. That is our church's maxim. Philippians chapter 2 says we must have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. So together, let us work hard to establish the church with zeal and fervency, so that we may become His golden lampstand. By faith, we will shine forth His light. By faith, I'm sure our church will grow. We have three very important in our church. We have the Word of God. Every week, spend some time studying God's Word. So we have God's Word. We have the love of God. And we have the Spirit of God together with us. Past year, I've just, brothers and sisters, you have realized that our church has been planned. We have been working on improving the condition of our church. So our church, our sanctuary has now been rightly lit up. But most important is the people in the church, because Heavenly Father loves that we, who are His children, to be emulate Him, to be like Him. So that we must be more Christ-like in our life. We must be patient. We must be loved, have loving kindness. We must be kind, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. So when a new friend or seeker of the truth comes to our church, and when he sees that our church is such an established church, loving church, a church filled with joy, Think about it. Do you think this church will revive? I'm sure you will experience revival in our church. Because we have given our best to serve our Lord Jesus. So I'm sure after the pandemic, I truly believe our Lord will bless and guide our church to revival. So I want you to take good care of our church. Be concerned about our church. For example, in the month of July, we will co-host with the Lexington Chinese Church this summer retreat camp. So, well, this time we are not going be going to the university campus to attend a meeting. We shall go on. We shall zoom in online for you to join. So I'm sure you can join and support us in the prayer. You can participate in it. So to make this summer camp a success, not only just to meet the needs of the brothers and sisters of the Midwest region, but it's going to be open to all people. So even people in Asia, in Europe, they will also be able to join Zoom in and join that meeting. So may the Lord help us. Let us grasp this opportunity to serve Him, to be of service, and together and united, we will be able to serve the Lord. This is something that we need to do, the things that God wanted us to do. Second things we must do, we must love others as yourself. Matthew chapter 22 says, verse 39 to verse 40, you must love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. So the first commandment is to love your God. And those who love God will definitely also love others. It's rare to find someone who will love God but don't care about your neighbors, your friends. If you love God, and when God's love fills you, naturally you will go and care for others. My own learning has taught me that when you go and love others and you care for somebody, you're kind and loving to others, you care about their needs, then God will take care of you, will love you. I'm sure, I must be proud, our brothers and sisters in our church, they are very loving and kind. We are doing pretty well in this era. So may the Lord reward your kind deeds. As we approach the end time, we need to work harder to share the love of Christ to our friends so that we may lead them to know our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our duty. Are you willing to start doing it? Just like the two disciples who leap into action, we should do likewise. Brothers and sisters, we have done pretty well in studying the Bible. But we must take action after we learn God's word. Now let's return to the story at Mark chapter 11. What do we see? Our Lord was very meticulous. He did not overlook any detail. He told the two disciples exactly what to say in order to get the colt. So when they were questioned by the people, when they went to get the colt, the Lord needs it. So they said exactly what they were told. Not a word more, not a word less. All they did was to say what Jesus told them to say. That's it. And also, the way they presented themselves was just as important. I am sure they conducted themselves with respect and politeness, not one bit of arrogance. Verse 6 tells us that the people at the time, when they answered them, the Lord needed, they just let him take the coat away. So what is the lesson to be learned here? So when the two disciples let them know the reason why they need the coat, they just happily let them take the coat away. Well, the reason they do like what such way create like that it was because Jesus already told the disciples what to say even before they come to that place. So very important, the lesson to be learned here is to speak the words Jesus told us. Have you noticed that in your whole life, brother and sister, in your entire life, every moment of your life, if you look back and see, you will realize that God has been with you all this, every moment of your life. And the Lord has prepared everything ahead of us. So that when, during what time, and what do we need to say during what time, you will realize that God has prepared you ahead of time. His blessings is always on us. The Lord always surprised people and surprised us as well, because we see the love of Jesus, the way He is so meticulously planning ahead for our lives. So, therefore, all we need to learn is speak the words Jesus told us, just like the two disciples. What He told us, we just carry it out. For I encourage you to memorize the Bible, weekly Bible verse. As Jeremiah says, when I taste the word of God, it is full of sweetness. When that happens, our lives will never be the same again. His word fills our inner souls. It gives us new perspective and values. It fills us with wisdom to make sound judgment. This is a matter of great importance. And this is always things that I emphasize in my to you in my speaking. Every morning I will study, do meditation, and early in the morning I will send those meditation verses to you to the WeChat to encourage you to do meditation on your own. I will give you questions and also answers to those questions so that you may meditate on God's word and have and build a relationship with God. Now, we have more than 200 people who come together and study God's word and do meditation. Even if only half of the people do it meticulously, I'm sure you will be blessed. And that is the reason you will be blessed. When we do Bible study together on the same topic, on the same passage, and then we learn to encourage one another as to what we have learned from the passage, it will give us a response that is so surprising. Many churches have been doing that in the past and in the present, and they found out that it is very effective. If everybody do learn the same passage, it will be very good. On the other hand, if every one of us study a different passage, it would not be easy for us. So now we are approaching summertime. And probably we will resume our church worship very soon, probably in June or July. And I encourage the cell group leaders to show the example. You study the same passage together with your several members, that together you learn from the same passage. So as we learn from the same passage, we'll learn the teachings of the Lord through His word, and then we'll be able to go out and serve the community. And then it will also be in my certain Sunday sermon. So during the Pentecost week, I will share with you the book of Hosea to teach us how are we going to systematically study the Word of God. And there are three areas that we can encourage one another to help us to build our spiritual life. May the Lord help us to put importance of studying the Word of God. Spend more time every day to meditate on His Word so that you may receive His blessing. Because the Word of God will change our life. It will let us have new perspective. Our life value will also modify. In that way, it will fill us with wisdom from above to make good decisions in life. I always emphasize what's the difference between Christians and non-Christians. Because we have the power, the strength from above to make the right decision in our life. So, give an example, is that whenever we see something, the Holy Spirit will give us the strength to make the right judgment as to what is going on around us. And it will help us to grow spiritually. And God's Spirit will continue to lead us, to guide us in our life. Let's continue. We saw the disciples follow Jesus as he entered into the city of Jerusalem riding on a colt. This was his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When people in the city heard his arrival, they went out to welcome him. Many spread their cloaks and laid branches on the road. And in unison, they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the real meaning of Hosanna is to ask of God. So it's a praise and worship phrase. So Hosanna means in the name of God, we worship you. So let us look at the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 10 says, "How blessed is the kingdom, is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." These were spoken by the people in Jerusalem at the time. Why did they say that? Well, because the people of the time, they see that he is the coming of Jesus into the city, fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9:9. Well, let's take a look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Let's take a look at the PowerPoint. Verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, cry out, daughter of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous, and he is able to save. He is humble and is riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Have you seen that? Even in the Old Testament, it was prophesied by a prophet, Zechariah. So therefore, this shows us that the Heavenly Father has prepared step by step the salvation of the man of mankind. So he has a plan of salvation for all mankind, right from the Old Testament prophets. And he prophesied it on the very last weekend of Jesus Christ's life on earth. This is what is going to happen.